give dads a hand here this morning. Amen. All the dads, you guys are awesome. All right, so remain standing. So I wanted to help you out this morning, so I went and did a lot of research on what is the perfect dad and what is he like. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read off an interview from a perfect dad and how he answered. And if any of these describe you when I'm reading them, you can sit down, all right? So stay standing here. So just read a couple of them here. So the first question is, you know, as a dad, I can believe you keep on top of your yard work, but how are you really at auto repair? Dad, well, actually, I'm incredible at it. Like, for instance, once I was driving down the Ohio Turnpike when my muffler dropped down and started scraping against the pavement. I just set the cruise control on 65, opened the car door, leaned down, tied the muffler up with a wire coat hanger, didn't even cost me a cent, still made it to my boys' game on time. Anybody sit down there? No, yeah, okay, I got a few more for you, hold on. Okay, this one's probably gonna help you. So, hey, I noticed you're eating a organic roast beef sandwich. Don't you think it's better to just be avoiding red meat? No, not in my case, Dad. I take care of my health. I work out 7 days a week, but I'm not overly vain. I just look good automatically. And for example, I get my hair cut every 3 weeks, but I never look like I got a haircut. Oh, okay, I'm trying to help you guys here. All right, there's a couple more. I see a lot of guys standing here. I'm trying to help you here. Okay. So I heard your wife doesn't enjoy sports. How do you square your heavy involvement in Little League Baseball with your wife's need to share interests as a couple? I'm going to help you out, guys, here. Hey, for me, it's no problem at all. I love to entertain. I always initiate social engagements. And when we have friends over, I never fail to clean up afterward. But at the same time, I don't have a desperate need to have people around. I'm a rugged individual, and I need my own space. I go out and climb mountains every once in a while, but it doesn't take any time away from my family. Man, you guys are still... All right, I'm going to give you one or two more. You better... Hopefully. All right, a lot of men have trouble talking to their sons about sex, but have you found that to be a problem? Dad, never. I'm perfectly comfortable talking about sex with my son, and I'm remarkably well-informed. Whoa, oh, somebody just sat down. Sanford just sat down over there. Oh, really? All right, well, we got one for him. All right, last one here. So... I don't get it. All right. So, Dad, any closing thoughts? Well, just, okay, I'm totally at peace with who I am. I'm not threatened by my successful peers. I never compare myself with others, but I'm not complacent either. And I'm always ready for the next great challenge, and I won't ever let it take away time from my family. Oh, man. All right, so here's the thing, Dad. Yeah, there is no perfect dad, right? Right? We all have these stories. This is a joke here, you know, guys, this is a joke. But here's the thing. Here's how I deal with it. You know, the Father's Day stuff is like Mother's Day. You know, as a pastor, it's always difficult to try and figure this out because, you know, there's dads that go through all kinds of stuff about, well, was my dad the perfect dad? No, he wasn't. And then I look at myself and I go, man, you know, I wish I was a better dad and I should have done this and I shouldn't have done that. But here's the thing, man. First of all, just rejoice in the fact that you're being honored as a dad, okay? It's a great thing to be honored as a dad. It's a great, great thing. And then I just take it like this. I just look at the fact that I'm a dad. I'm a work in progress. Guys, we're a work in progress, right? I learn what I can, and I just ask God to forgive me for the past, and I just move on. I'm trying to be the best dad I can. Amen? Amen. Amen. You guys are awesome. You can sit down now, all right? But since today is Father's Day, I thought it would be good to do a sermon on fatherhood. So title for today's sermon is Godfather. I don't know, it looks a little familiar about something. I'm not sure what that is. But I was thinking I could use a more traditional title like Lessons from Fatherhood from Your Heavenly Father. But I just thought that was a cool title. So, you know, that's the sermon right there. But for those of you that aren't fathers, here's the thing. This stuff will really help you. It's not just about fatherhood. It's not just to help us be better dads. This is really about how to have healthy relationships with one another. But I do want to gear it towards dads, and I'm hoping that this will help you and give you something to work on. Like I said, I'm a work in progress. If I can learn something and try to be a better dad today, I'm all about that, and I think it's a journey for the rest of your life. So first thing I want to take a look at, though, it makes me think about an interesting comment that Jesus made about fatherhood. I want to start with this morning. So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 23. We're going to look at what Jesus had to say about fatherhood, and I really hope this will help you dads, and I really hope this will help all of us with our dads, because this is a very interesting statement. Chapter 23, Matthew, and then it's in verse 9. Jesus says, "Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven." Call no one on this earth your father. Well, actually, the very first time I read that, I had just become a Christian and I was 19 years old, and I read that for the first time. Having grown up a Catholic, I always thought that was kind of an interesting passage, because we always called the priest in our parish father, and I thought, well, Jesus said you're not supposed to do that. I'm not really sure that's what he was referring to. I think he was referring to something a lot deeper than that. I think he was trying to help us understand a perspective on fatherhood and something that might help us as dads, because I think what Jesus is saying, in reality, yes, you do have a father. Everybody has a father. I mean, you wouldn't be here if you didn't have a father. But I think Jesus is saying, at some point in your life, you have to realize you got to let dad go. You have to let dad go. At some point in your life, you begin to realize, you know what, even if I grew up in the perfect home, and even if I did have the perfect dad, something's going to be missing. I mean, all of us, when you have your child, that first child is born, I mean, there's no guy that wants to be a loser dad. You know, I'm going to be the best dad I can. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to try to be a 9 3/4. I'm really going to go for it. And so, you know, you take off and you're doing your best, but you look back and you realize, you know what, man, I missed it on that one. Totally missed it on that one. How did I do that? You know, and oh, I screwed up here and I wasn't there when I should have been. And you start seeing where you're failing. I'm telling you, the perfect dad, even the perfect dad on this earth, is going to fall short. And so I think what Jesus is saying here, listen, at some point you have to realize you come of age and you have to stop demanding of your dad to meet these unmet needs, which in reality will never be met by your earthly father. There are these cravings for acceptance and unconditional love that is truly beyond the best dad alive. And at some point you begin to realize, oh, I think I get it. He's just another brother like me. He didn't really give me life. God gave me life. I mean, he's been raising me, but at some point you start realizing there's a transition. And I think what Jesus is trying to say is, if you really want to be complete and you really want your needs met, at some point, let your dad go. Let him go, man. Stop this drawing. You got dad, let him go and turn to the one who can meet your need. You have one in heaven, the ultimate father. He is the perfect dad. He answers the questions to those surveys better than we could even imagine. He's always there. He never messes up. He's never selfish and trying to only serve. He's always looking out on our behalf. And so those needs that we have, I think Jesus is trying to tell you here, look, at some point, start recognizing that you have a father in heaven. Doesn't mean disrespect your dad and never call him dad again. I don't really think that's what Jesus was saying, but I think he was saying, really, at some point, you come to the reality that I only have one father. And truly, when we get to heaven, you know, I don't know how this will all play out, but there is a time when we get to heaven, we're not going to have my dad and my grandfather and my wife and my children. That is not the structure that will be in heaven. We will be brothers and sisters in Christ. That's how we will relate. And so if that's the case, it's better that we start learning how to do that now. Not in any disrespectful way, but understanding how to truly get your needs met. So I think whenever I think of fatherhood, this passage just always jumps out at me. It will help you. It will help you, because some of you grew up in some rough environments. You know, you had dad who was never there. Yeah, dad, maybe an alcoholic, abusive, verbally, physically. I mean, people have grown up in some unbelievable situations, and I can't even begin to imagine some of those struggles. But what happens is, if you don't let go of that and just let dad go and say, you know, he obviously fell short, but I know where I can get those needs met. But really, on the other hand, even if you had the perfect dad, at some point you got to let him go because he was not perfect. He fell short. So there's Jesus' perspective on fatherhood, but let's take a look at this relationship between Jesus and our Heavenly Father, because there's a couple of things that show up in Scripture, and whenever I see things in Scripture, I try to realize that's not just there for no reason at all. There must be something God's trying to say. And so here's a couple of passages I want to look at this morning. First is in Luke. If you go forward to the Gospel of Luke chapter 3, this is at Jesus' water baptism, Luke chapter 3. And as he's getting baptized, in verse 22 it says, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him," upon Jesus. "And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased.'" Now, why would that be there? Well, we would probably say, first and foremost, to help everybody realize that Jesus really was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. God was declaring it, and I'm sure there's that to it. But I think there's something a little bit more personal about this. You see, I think God is speaking to his Son. God the Father is talking to his Son. And here's a question. When he said this to Jesus, what had gone on in Jesus' life at this time? Like, had Jesus done some really great things? Had he, like, was God the Father saying this to Jesus because he just graduated from college and he just really had a great ministry going, and he was healing the sick, and he was traveling the world, and he had written books, and he was famous, had some CDs. I mean, what had Jesus done at this time? Anybody know what Jesus had done by the time he got baptized? Zero. Hadn't done anything. He hadn't started his ministry, wasn't healing the sick, he wasn't declaring the kingdom of God. But here's the Father saying, "Man, I love you, Son. And I tell you what, that's an important thing to do as a parent. But there's something more to this, not just saying I love you, and I love you because you're my son or you're my daughter, not because of what you do, but there's something else here that I think is significant. It's public praise. And for some reason, I don't understand how people have missed this, but for some reason, way too many parents don't get this. Okay, so I'm going to give you a very simple principle. Let this like burn into your head. Really believe this, really hold on to this, and it's really four simple words. Public praise, private criticism. I'll say that again. Public praise, private criticism. Now, just to help me out a little bit, just so you're not sleeping, say this with me. Come on, ready? Public praise, private criticism. For some reason, parents have got this completely backwards. They think it's so important to criticize their kids, and they do it publicly. You can do better. You know, try harder. Stop doing that. They're correcting their children in public. You do that in private. And as I said earlier, this is not just parenting skill, folks. This is relational skills. If you have issues with people, husband to wife, wife to husband, we don't want to hear it in public. Take it home and talk about it. If you have some issues with people at work, talk about it in private. What do you do in public? You publicly praise people. Sometimes parents kind of get this. Like, most parents will talk about their children with one another. Like when I'm saying, "Hey, how you doing? How are your kids doing?" And you know, that's the million-dollar question, you know. "Oh, so-and-so's doing this, so-and-so's doing that." And it's like, "Oh, okay, yeah, you know. I really want to know." No, you want to hear. You know, you want to hear how they're bragging on their children, and there's something nice about that. But that's not really as big a deal as when you see a parent publicly encourage their child. I mean, that is beautiful. I mean, that is really beautiful. And it's the saddest thing in the world to see parents criticize their children publicly. There's a healthy thing going on here. God the Father is speaking in front of everybody else, praising his son. You're my son, man. I am so blessed. I'm so proud of you. You're awesome, man. I mean, that's a great thing to say, and I don't think any of us can ever hear that enough. Years ago, I read a book. It was called The One-Minute Manager. It wasn't written by a Christian, but it was written by a guy who had some great insight about relational skills in the workforce. But I always say if you get a takeaway, like if you get one takeaway from a book, you got your money's worth. Well, I did have a great takeaway from that book, and it was this. It is your job to catch people doing something good and to commend them for that. That's your job. It is not our job to be catching people doing things wrong. Catch them doing something good and commend them. Hey, I really appreciate it, especially with your kids. You know, especially if you have siblings and you go, hey, you know, Bobby, that was really nice. You shared something with Susie. That was so nice. I really appreciate that. Commend them. And guess what might happen? It may show up more and more. When you're encouraged and you're commended and you're publicly praised, it really does something. I don't think this is just something that's in Scripture for no reason at all. I don't think God was just, you know, this is my son, hope you're pleasing him. He's talking right to Jesus. Jesus, you're my son, man. I'm so blessed. I'm so honored. You're a great kid. Appreciate you. I mean, this is what's going on here. And I would say this, if it met a need in Jesus, I'm pretty sure it'll meet a need in us. And how important it is to be able to give public praise, keep the criticism private, you'll get a whole lot more done. It's much more respectful. All right, let's look at another one here. It's Luke 9, another little thing that happens with God, interaction between God the Father and God the Son. And again, I don't think these are just coincidences. I think these are significant events in the life of Jesus. Chapter 9 in Luke, Jesus has just taken a few disciples up into the mountain, and he's had this experience where he's transfigured in front of them. He's glowing, and Moses and Elijah appear, and it's like this really incredible supernatural experience. But in verse 35, all of a sudden we have God show up here. Then a voice comes out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Listen to what he has to say." And now he's talking to the disciples when he's saying this, but again, he's talking this in front of Jesus, and I think there's something important here. I think he's saying, son, I respect what my son has to say. You ought to listen to him. And I think probably this is a point of transition that some parents never get through. Like when your child is small, you know, they're 4, 5, or 6, and they're talking. Well, first of all, I think we should respect them even when they're little. And I think it's wrong sometimes the way parents treat their children with disrespect. Like you'll be talking to your child and some adult will come in the room and you just turn away and just start talking to the adult. You just like blow your kid off. And it's like, really? Would you do that to another adult? I mean, wouldn't you say, hey, excuse me a minute, I need to talk to somebody else, and then you talk to the other person? It's just treating people with respect. And I think as a guideline, the thing that might help us the best is just to remember, treat your child just like you treat a coworker. Treat them with respect. But with the respect, there's something underneath that. It means this: I respect what you have to say. I really think you have something to say. So, well, you know, when your child's 5 or 6, you might not really think they have something to say, but you still want to show them respect. Well, what about when they hit the teen years, and then they hit that 20, and all of a sudden you're starting to realize, wait a minute, they're trying to become part of the adult world, and some parents never get that piece taken care of, and they still think their child is just a child, and I know more than my child, and really, maybe there's a place where you could say, listen to him, listen to her. Here's God the Father telling Peter and the other disciples, look, this is my son, listen to him, he has something to say. I was listening to a radio program a while back, and it was on child rearing. And the expert was asked, well, listen, he said, if you could tell parents one word about child rearing, what one word would you tell parents? That's pretty cool, huh? What would you say? One word. Like narrow down parenting to one word. The guy said without hesitation, respect. He said, respect. If you give it, you get it. It's true. You know, parents disrespect their children and then they get disrespect back and they can't figure out where's that coming from. Really? Watch the movie, replay it a few times. You'll see it. Respect your children, they will respect you. And again, this plays out into the work environment. This plays out into you know, sibling relationships, spouses. It's this ability to show respect. It's ability to say, I truly believe in you. You have something to say. You are important. Instead of devaluing people and saying, you know, this guy's a jerk. She's nothing. Don't even let that thought enter your mind. He or she is made in the image of God. He or she has something to say. Can you give them a minute and show them enough respect? Listen to what they have to say and consider it. Here's the Heavenly Father saying in front of his son, this is my son. Listen to him. I think he's saying, I listen to him. The Father, I listen to him. You guys ought to listen to him. He really does have something to say. And he did, obviously. It's Jesus. But this is a father speaking to his son. So I'm going to close up with just another passage. So if we show respect and if we give public praise, what are some things we might be able to expect to see in our children or in our work relationships? Well, there's something that shows up here that I think is directly related to this. It's just one more passage. We'll finish up with this. Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 8. The Gospel of John chapter 8. This is really an interesting passage where Jesus refers to his father and the relationship he had to his father. It's John chapter 8 and it's verse 29. It said, Jesus said, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. Now, the last part. For I always do those things that please him. For I always do those things that please him. Where did that come from? Well, when we read this, we think, well, that's Jesus. Obviously, he's perfect. He always does everything right. You know, that's what it's about. Yeah, but we forget the fact that he was a man. And at this time in his life, he's 30-something years old. And he's saying, I'm doing everything I can to please my father. I'm still trying to please my dad. I think this is the result of being treated with respect, and this is the result of being encouraged and publicly praised. Instead of expecting our children to grow up and be rebellious and disrespectful, maybe that might produce something different, and that might produce what we see here, this desire to please. You see, here's my take on this. I think we're all born with a desire to please. I mean, I know we're born selfish, but there's something, I would call it a God trait, that we want to please people. We want to know that we're pleasing people. You want to know that at work, and you want to know that you're pleasing your mom and your dad. And if you don't know you're pleasing your mom or your dad, it really produces some what psychologists would call abnormal behavior. You start acting weird. You're trying to find acceptance from somebody or some other thing because this need is not met. You want to know you're accepted. Well, here Jesus knew he was accepted. He knew he was respected. And the end result is it naturally produced in him a desire to want to serve his father. And this truly carries over into our relationship with God. When we understand this is the way God deals with us, the relationship between God the Father and God the Son wasn't so unique that we don't enter into it. We are called God's children, God's sons and daughters. And I believe God praises us and encourages us, and I believe God respects us. And when you begin to understand that, not so much because of what we've done, but because we are his sons and daughters, then our service to him is more of a natural byproduct. Rather than serving God out of fear because I'm going to hell and God is mad at me if I don't serve him, or I have to serve him to get his acceptance, I know I'm already accepted. I know that he's pleased with me, and so my reaction is I just want to please him. There's a natural response. When you know you're accepted and when you know you're pleasing, there's a healthy response, and this is what you find in Jesus. I do always the thing that pleases my father. So you know, in summary here, again, dads, you know, no dad is perfect. But I like to look at myself as a work in progress, and I'm always looking, is there something I can work on here? And like I said earlier, if you read a book, if you at least get one takeaway, you're going to get your money's worth. So maybe grab a hold of one of these as a takeaway. So maybe the first one is, start thinking about how you can encourage or publicly praise your children. It's a healthy thing. That's different than bragging. That's just saying, I appreciate you, man. You're awesome. Or even catching them doing something that's good. Hey, I saw you did that the other day. That's really incredible. Nice job. The other one is learn to listen. You know, show that respect. Hear him is what the father said. Maybe some of us are not listening to our children, young or older or whatever age. maybe we could start saying, you know what, he or she does have something to say, I really ought to listen. And then for all of us, maybe that we could let that carry over into our relationships at work, spousal relationships, employer-employee relationships. This is a healthy relationship that you see here between the Father and the Son. It's a model that I believe we can enter into. All right? Let's close in prayer. God, I thank you for this insight that we see, this relationship that is between you and Jesus. And there's something deep there that we would like to experience more of, God. We believe that you want that relationship with us. God, for the fathers here, we pray that we would see our position as a father as a work in progress, God, that we would be constantly learning, God, where we see our shortcomings, we would ask for your forgiveness, but God, we would see the road ahead of us is full of hope and learning and becoming the better person that you want us to be. Could we just, let's just take a minute here. Dads, why don't you stand up? I do want to just pray a special prayer for our dads here this morning. Again, I'm just so blessed that we have a culture that still honors fatherhood, and we know that, you know, anyone can be a father, but we're really what we're talking about is dads here, people who've given of their time and energy, and, you know, I don't know, but I think it would be pretty fair to say I don't think anything will be more challenging in our lives than being a dad or a father. But on the other hand, I don't think anything is more rewarding than being a dad or a father. So I want to bless you this morning. I want to pray God would let you enjoy the day that you had the privilege and the honor of being a father, and that you commit and recommit yourself to being the best dad you possibly can. So let's do this. If you're sitting next to one of the dads, would you just stand up, put your hand on one of the dads for us, and let's just speak a blessing into our dads here today. So Father, we bless our fathers here this morning. We bless each one, God, and we thank you for what they have given to their children, God. We thank you that we are in a country that has a day set aside to honor fathers, God. And God, for those of us that still have our fathers, God, alive, that we would make it a point to encourage them, to bless them, God. And any of the dads here this morning that may be struggling, God, with mistakes they've made, I just pray, Holy Spirit, right now, that you would just bring your grace into that situation and help each of us to let those things go and to realize that no matter how hard we try, ultimately you're the only true Father that meets every need. And we are so grateful, God, that we can look to you. We just pray a blessing over them now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You could just stay standing. We're going to take our offering at this time for ushers to come forward. Our prayer team up front here. So we're going to close with a song, but we always try to make sure we have some opportunity for ministry in the Holy Spirit. And I just, a couple of words just stirring in my spirit as I was worshiping. I got this word indigestion, somebody having some serious indigestion problems. I don't know what that means, but I, you know, sometimes we just get these words. And if that's you and you'd like some prayer, we have some people up here who'd like to pray for you. Also got the word asthma. If it's a new thing you're dealing with, you've been dealing with it for a long time, but I just sense when you get those words, that means the Holy Spirit wants to do something special in your life, touch you, heal you, bring some deliverance in your life. So if you have those needs, also, you know, because of today's sermon, I obviously was praying all week, and if you're just dealing with some hurts that, you know, you just feel like you haven't been able to let go, and maybe today's sermon kind of woke them up a little bit, sometimes that may mean there's a little bit of an infection, like a spiritual infection, and sometimes the way you clean that is you open it up and let the Holy Spirit clean it. So if you've got just some hurts that you'd like some prayer for this morning, I just sense the Holy Spirit can really bring some healing and get beyond that. If you've got some other needs, you want some prayer, I'd love to pray with you. We're going to close with this song.
our Lord is my heart, Lord, is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true, is my heart, Lord, is my heart, Lord. Is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. If I am found, I am yours. I am loved. I'm made pure. I have life. I can breathe.
My heart. concludes today's service. Please continue to get prayer. Thank everyone for being here, and look forward to seeing everyone here next Sunday.